Today is from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 65, verses 17 through 25. Listen now for God's word to you in this reading of scripture. For I am about to create new heavens and a new earth. The former things shall not be remembered or come to mind, but be glad and rejoice forever in what I am creating. For I am about to create Jerusalem as a joy, and its people as a delight will rejoice in Jerusalem and delight in my people. No more shall the sound of weeping be heard in it, or the cry of distress. No more shall there be in it an infant that lives but a few days, or an old person who does not live out a lifetime. For one who dies at 100 years will be considered a youth, and one who falls short of 100 will be considered accursed. They shall build houses and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and eat their fruit. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For like the days of a tree shall the days of my people be, and my chosen shall long enjoy the work of their hands. They shall not labor in vain or bear children for calamity. For they shall be offspring blessed by the Lord and their descendants as well. Before they call, I will answer. While they are yet speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together. The lion shall eat straw like the ox. But the serpent, its food shall be dust. They shall not hurt or destroy on all my holy mountain, says the Lord. For the word in creation, for the word in scripture, for the word within us. Thanks be to God.
Our next scripture reading comes from the Gospel of Luke. I'll be reading from the 21st chapter of Luke, beginning at verse 5 and reading through verse 19. So let us listen for God's word. When some were speaking about the temple, how it was adorned with beautiful stones and gifts dedicated to God, Jesus said, "As for these things that you see, the days will come when not one stone will be left upon another. All will be thrown down." They asked him, "Teacher, when will this be? And what will be the sign that this is about to take place?" And he said, "Beware that you are not led astray, for many will come in my name and say, 'I am he,' and 'the time is near.' Do not go after them. When you hear of wars and insurrections, do not be terrified, for these things must take place first, but the end will not follow immediately." Then he said to them, "Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes, and in various places famines and plagues. And there will be a dreadful portents and great signs from heaven. But before all this occurs, they will arrest you and persecute you. They will hand you over to synagogues and prisons, and you will be brought before kings and governors because of my name. This will give you an opportunity to testify. So make up your minds not to prepare your defense in advance, for I will give you words and a wisdom that none of your opponents will be able to withstand or contradict. You will be betrayed even by parents and brothers, by relatives and friends, and they will put some of you to death. You will be hated by all because of my name. But not a hair of your head will perish. By your endurance, you will gain your souls." For the word in creation, for the word in scripture, and for the word within us. Thanks be to God. There was an old farmer who had worked his crops for many years. He had only one horse to help him with this. And one day the horse ran away. And upon hearing the news, his neighbors came to visit him and said, "Such bad luck." And the farmer replied, "Maybe." The next morning, the horse returned, bringing with it three other wild horses. "How wonderful!" his neighbors exclaimed. And the farmer said, "Maybe." The following day, the farmer's son was trying to ride one of the wild horses and fell off and broke his leg. And the neighbors came and said, "Oh, how terrible. What a misfortune." And the farmer said, "Maybe." Well, the day after that, military officials came to the village to draft young men to take them off to war. But seeing that the old man's son's leg was broken, they passed him by. And the neighbors congratulated the farmer and said, "Oh, how fortunate that your son does not have to go off to war." And the old farmer said, "Maybe." This morning we hear two visions in our scripture readings. Two visions, one from an Old Testament prophet, Isaiah, and one from Jesus. Now, the odd thing about these two visions is they seem to be a bit incongruous, because the vision that's filled with good news comes from Isaiah, and the vision that's filled with not so good news comes from Jesus. But both of these visions are grounded in their time and in their place. For you see, Isaiah's vision of a new heaven, this new heaven and new earth, is at the end of exile for the people of Israel as they are returning to Jerusalem. And so he proclaims this vision of new heaven and new earth. When Jesus talks about the kingdom of God, he is talking about this vision that Isaiah gives. Isaiah sees the kingdom of God as having just come through the trials and tribulations of exile. And Jesus sees the trials, the vision of the kingdom of heaven, looking toward the trials and tribulations of Roman occupation. They both have the same vision, but from different perspectives. These two passages are juxtaposed in our readings today to offer us a full perspective on reality, to give us a complete view of life, because we experience life in its completeness. Sometimes life is good, And sometimes life is not so good. And sometimes it all happens at the same time. There's a wholeness, there's a completeness about creation in which we experience all of these things that both of these visions encompass. But our ultimate vision, regardless of where we are, is a vision of peace and plenty. It is what Jesus calls the vision of the kingdom of heaven, or the kingdom of God. And he always says that it is near. Another translation for near would be at hand, meaning it's so close that at times we can touch it. At times we can taste it. At times we can see it. At times we can feel it. It's that close. It's not somewhere far off in the future. The kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, is always here. And now, according to Jesus. But how are we to experience this kingdom in our lives when sometimes we can't see it, we can't feel it, we can't touch it? He offers in this reading that we do this through endurance. We save our souls through endurance, Jesus says. And I'd like to offer just a slightly different translation of that phrase this morning. And I would like to say that instead of endurance, and this is a valid translation as it is translated this way in other places in our scripture, instead of endurance, we say steadfast patience. It's not like we have to endure life, but we have patience with our lives. And also, soul can be translated life. So in order to have life, we must practice patience wherever we are and whatever the circumstances of our lives. Because the kingdom is always at hand. It is always near. And together these two visions tell us that we are to be patient with our faith. We are to understand that we live in the kingdom, even though it's not evident to us. But it's always with us. It's always in us, here and now. No matter how bad life may be, no matter what's going on in the world around us, we can always see these things as signs that the kingdom always breaks through. There's a euphemism that we use sometimes to describe this, and that euphemism is, "This too shall pass." But we live in a fullness. We live in a wholeness of life. And Jesus and Isaiah both give us a vision of a kingdom of peace and plenty and protection where everybody has everything they need. There we have no enemies, no predators, no victims. This is always our vision. And sometimes that vision breaks through into our current reality. It all sounds like an illusion. But then again, maybe our vision of the world is the real illusion. Isaiah and Jesus' vision is one where there is enough for everybody. There are no enemies, there are no predators, there are no victims. Everyone is safe. Everyone has a home. Everyone has health. Our needs are met even before they are known or expressed. This is the kingdom of God. It's not a fantasy. It is the ultimate reality. And we are called into patience, knowing that at any moment, any instant, this vision touches our lives. Or we may be the instrument of the vision touching someone else's lives. Is the kingdom of God just a pipe dream, a fantasy, an illusion? Maybe. Maybe not. Amen. I found these words in my email this morning in a daily reading from author Frederick Buechner. If we only had eyes to see and ears to hear and wits to understand, we would know that the kingdom of God, in the sense of holiness, goodness, beauty, is as close as breathing and is crying out to be born both within ourselves and within the world. We would know that the kingdom of God is what we, all of us, hunger for above all other things, even when we don't know its name or realize that it's what we're starving to death for. The kingdom of God is where our best dreams come from and our truest prayers. We glimpse it at those moments when we find ourselves being better than we are and wiser than we know. We catch sight of it when at some moment of crisis, a strength seems to come to us that is greater than our own strength. The kingdom of God is where we belong. It is home. And whether we realize it or not, I think we are, all of us, homesick for it. And all we have to do is open our eyes, open our hearts, and reach out to one another. And we'll be home. Amen.